friends. Greetings from the Colliston Unamended Christadelphian Ecclesia. We should all look forward to this week coming out of the world to fellowship and spend time with one another as we await the return of our Lord. I want to speak to you this morning about one of the commandments of Christ, and that commandment is commandment number 49 in our statement of faith. This commandment states to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Turn with me over to Colossians 3. I'm going to read verses 16 and 17. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We are told in these verses to let the word of Christ dwell within us. According to Strong's Concordance, the word dwell in the Greek means to inhabit, a fixed position or place, to reside or remain. The word richly in the Greek means in abundance or abundantly. This means the word of Christ should reside or live within us, remaining there in abundance. This means that everything we think, say, and do should be according to the Scriptures and done in a Christ-like manner. Now skip down to Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24 as I read these verses. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Now the word heart is mentioned in two of the verses we have read so far. It's mentioned in Colossians 3, verses 16 and 23. Now, I want to remind you that we are told in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Mark 7, 21 and 22 says the following, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are within each and every one of us, and they can overtake our hearts if we let them. When these things overtake our heart, the first place that these things proceed from is our mouth. Matthew 15, verse 18 tells us, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Luke 6:45 states, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Does everyone see the connection between the heart and the things that proceed from our mouth? Now let me ask another question. How can the word of Christ dwell in us richly if our heart is in the wrong place? Colossians 4, verse 6 says the following, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. We are told in this verse to let our speech be with grace, and we may know how we ought to answer every man. In order for our speech to have grace and be seasoned with salt, we have to have our heart in the right place. And if our heart is not in the right place, and we cannot answer the men in the way the Lord has told us, how are we going to give an answer at the judgment seat of Christ? We have to rise above the sin nature within us. We have to become Christ-like. We have to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. The word of Christ has to take control of our heart, not the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Everything we do, say, and think has to be done in a way that is Christ-like. If it's not, then I would argue that your heart is not in the right place and the Word of God does not dwell in you richly the way it should. In order for the Word to dwell in us richly, we must be baptized. In essence, cleansed and washed from Adamic condemnation. Come into covenant relationship, and then we must keep our garments clean through prayer and forgiveness of sins. We must read and study the Word of God daily and practice living a Christ-like life. Our temple or body must be clean. Lost my place. Our temple or body must be clean and our heart must be in the right place in order for the Word of Christ, who is our high priest, to truly dwell in us richly. If we truly love Christ, we are told in John 14, verse 15, we will keep His commandments. We will truly be blessed if the Word of Christ dwells in us. Turn with me over to John 15, verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, or dwell there, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. You see now the importance of the Word dwelling or abiding in us? If the Word dwells in us, and we are doing the right thing, living in a Christ-like manner, we can ask for that which we need, and God will provide. And what a blessing that is to know. If the Word is dwelling in us, it will consume our life. We will pray without ceasing, and we will always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. We will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now turn with me over to John 8, verses 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, that is, if the word dwells in them, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We have to let the word consume our life, and we have to obey the word. This is the only ticket to free us from sin and death. According to the Scriptures, if the Word does not dwell in us, consume our lives, and if our heart is in the wrong place, then we will be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Please turn with me over to Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Now salt stands for strength of character in this verse, and savor stands for commitment to serve God. Write that down if it's not in your Bible. Salt stands for strength of character, and savor stands for commitment to serve God. Strength of character and commitment to serve God are two essential elements in order for the Word of Christ to dwell in us richly. If our heart turns in the wrong direction and we fail to let the Word dwell in us, in essence, we will lose our strength of character and our commitment to serve God, and we will be cast out and have no hope for salvation. In order for the Word to dwell in us, first we must hear the Word and fear God. We must read our Bibles daily and meditate on God's Word. We must let this become a way of life, and not only should we know the Word of God, we must live it through our daily walk. This is how the Word of God will truly dwell in us. We will make mistakes and we will fall short. This is why we must pray without ceasing, asking for forgiveness, and then not keep repeating or doing that same sin. One of the first things that Jesus did as a child was learn the Scriptures and memorize them. There are many instances in the Bible where Jesus started off answering someone's question with the following phrase, "Have you not read?" Then he would quote Scripture as he began to answer the person's question. Jesus had a full knowledge of the Scriptures and God's Word. Not only did he know it, but he lived it. He is our prime example. Jesus also taught in parables as a way to teach his followers. The parable of the sower teaches a very important lesson concerning the importance of the Word of God dwelling in us richly. In Matthew chapter 13, we are told that a sower went forth to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun came up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered and died. Some fell into thorns, and the thorns grew and proceeded to choke them to death. Some seeds fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. The wind carried the seed to various locations and types of ground. If the seed landed in good ground, they brought forth fruit. In this parable, the seed represents the word of the kingdom or the gospel, the word of God or the truth. There are four types of ground that the seed falls on. The wayside represents those who hear the word but not understand it, nor do they ask for an explanation. These people have no hope for salvation. The stony ground represents those who hear and are happy that they found the word, but they have no depth. They are not well rooted and grounded in the word. The word does not dwell in them forever, and they fall away and lose their hope for salvation. The thorns represent those who endure for a time, but the cares of this life, like weeds, choke the word. They lose their hope for salvation because they cared more about themselves and the cares of this life than about the word of God and his eternal plan. The good ground represents those who hear and understand. The word dwells in them richly, and they have firm roots, and therefore bring forth fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is displayed in their daily walk as they live a Christ-like life. They have a hope for salvation. This parable should make us ask ourselves the following questions. You should ask yourself, will I be a good place for the word to take root? Will the cares and pleasures of this world choke out the word in me? What kind of ground is my heart? Is it in the right place for the word of God to dwell there? Will the word of God be deep-rooted in me and dwell in me richly? Will I produce fruit for God? I'd like to summarize and conclude this morning with some words of encouragement. We must put our hearts in the right place in order for the word of Christ to dwell there, be deeply rooted, and to have a hope for salvation. In order to do this, we must read and understand God's word, be baptized, and pray earnestly, asking for forgiveness. We must keep our garments clean. We must have strength of character and a never-ending commitment to serve God. If you are a young person, not yet baptized, and you would like to know the truth and live the truth for God, take advantage of this week and listen to the words spoken by different brethren. Learn as much as you can this week, and when you go home, don't stop seeking the truth. Read daily and pray. This is what we all should do. If the word of Christ truly dwells in us richly, we will not only know the truth, we will live it. We will set a good example, and hopefully this will encourage those who are not well rooted in the word to take the proper steps so that they too will be able to produce fruit for God and have a hope for salvation. Thank you.